French investigators will release news on Air France Flight 447. The NTSB wants changes at the New Mexico State Police. And Korean Air gets its first A380. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, May 27th, 2011. Media reports from Europe say that BEA, the French Accident Investigative Agency, plans to release preliminary information gleaned from the cockpit voice and flight data recorders of Air France Flight 447 sometime this afternoon through a statement on its website. By the time you're hearing this, it may already be there. AFP News reports the release is intended to counter, quote, the partial and more or less contradictory information published by the media, unquote. That's according to a BEA email sent to journalists. On its website, BEA says it has decided to publish a note with information on the first facts established based on analysis of the flight recorders. There will be no press briefing. The recorders are expected to yield answers as to why the A330 went down in the Atlantic nearly 2 years ago. French Junior Transport Minister Thierry Mariana said last week the agency expects to know the probable cause by the end of June. In the case of a fatal 2009 accident involving a New Mexico State Police helicopter, the NTSB has determined that the probable cause is, quote, the pilot's decision to take off from a remote mountainous landing site in dark, moonless night, windy, instrument meteorological conditions. Contributing to the accident were an organizational culture that prioritized mission execution over aviation safety, and the pilot's fatigue, self-induced pressure to conduct the flight, and situational stress. Also contributing to the accident were deficiencies in the New Mexico State Police Aviation Section's safety-related policies, including lack of a requirement for a risk assessment at any point during the mission, inadequate pilot staffing, lack of an effective fatigue management program for pilots, and inadequate procedures and equipment to ensure effective communication between airborne and ground personnel during search and rescue missions, unquote. The commercial-rated pilot and an observer were both killed after the Augusta A109 entered instrument conditions. They had been involved in a search and rescue mission, but NTSB also faulted the department for not following an established SAR plan. The board also writes that given the decision to launch into deteriorating conditions, survival gear and night goggles could have made a difference. The pilot was also not instrument rated. Among the few things that did go right was a 406 megahertz ELT, which NTSB said was largely responsible for allowing searchers to find the wreckage. The board issued 15 separate recommendations to the New Mexico State Police. You can read the report by following an FMI link from the text version of this story, dated May 25th, at aero-news.net. Korean Air celebrated the arrival of its first Airbus A380 on Tuesday at a special ceremony at Airbus in Toulouse. The ceremony was attended by Korean Air Chairman Yang Ho Cho and hosted by Airbus President and CEO Tom Enders. EADS CEO Louis Galois was also present at the event. Korean Air is the sixth airline to take delivery of an A380 and has ordered a total of 10 of them. Korean Air will initially operate its A380 from its Seoul hub to selected destinations in Asia, followed by non-stop services to North America and Europe. The airline has specified an extra spacious layout for its A380 fleet, with accommodation for 407 passengers in three classes. Special features include the world's first-ever duty-free showcase area onboard the aircraft and a stylish onboard bar and lounge on the upper deck for premium passengers. European helicopter services provider Inair has signed contracts with Augusta Westland for 7 light twin helicopters. They include 2 EMS-configured Grand New light twin helicopters and 4 Grand New light twin and 1 AW-139 medium twin helicopters for offshore transport. These contracts mark the entrance of the Grand New into the European EMS and offshore transport markets. The offshore transport helicopters will be configured with 6 forward-facing cabin seats, the first time such a seating layout has been fitted in the Augusta Westland light twin range. The in-air helicopter fleet includes around 60 Augusta Westland single-engine and light twin-engine helicopters. Comlux America LLC, based in Indianapolis, Indiana, has been named as a new Airbus ACJ cabin outfitter, expanding the choice of completion centers for Airbus corporate jet customers. The first aircraft outfitted by Comlux was an Airbus ACJ320, which was on display at EBACE in Geneva. Comlux America President Ettore Rodaro noted, quote, "With our origins in VVIP charter and aircraft management, we are uniquely well-placed to understand and satisfy the cabin outfitting needs of private jet customers. We can also take care of their cabin refurbishment and maintenance needs via Comlux Aviation Services, which was previously known as IndiJet and which has around 30 years of experience," unquote. Still ahead, the U.S. Navy's largest warship notches another milestone. Two WAI scholarship recipients pay it forward. And the Spirit Mars Rover's mission has officially ended. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, May 27th. I'm Paul Plack. The USS Enterprise was the world's first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. She entered service in 1961 and will celebrate her 50th birthday this November. She's also the world's largest active warship, and the second oldest active commissioned ship in the U.S. Navy. An estimated 250,000 sailors have served aboard Enterprise. And on Tuesday, she notched another milestone, becoming the only active carrier to see 400,000 landings, and only the fourth in history to do that. An FA-18F Super Hornet from the Red Rippers of Strike Fighter Squadron 11, manned by Lieutenant Matthew L. Enos and Weapons System Officer Lieutenant Commander Jonathan Welsh, made the historic landing. Aviation Bosun Mate Third Class Joseph R. Naval, and yes, that's his real name, was manning the number 2 arresting gear engine when the 400,000th arrested landing was made. Quote, "It's a great feeling to be able to say you had a hand in making the history books. It's not a big surprise, though. Working on a ship as old as Enterprise means all of us on board are making history every day," unquote. That kind of reminds me of the jokes George Burns used to tell. As past recipients of Women in Aviation International Scholarships, both Deborah Hecker and Evelyn Tinkle knew how career and life-changing a WAI scholarship can be. Both women won type rating scholarships in 1998 and went on to have successful airline careers. So now they've launched and funded a scholarship for individuals in the intermediate stage of flight training, which they've named the Keep Flying Scholarship. Its purpose is to provide the next logical license or rating for a career pilot. Ideally, it would fund training for a commercial certificate or instrument, multi-engine, or flight instructor rating. WAI President Dr. Peggy Chabrian says, quote, "This is not the first time a scholarship winner has launched her own scholarship. Other past scholarship winners want to give another WAI member what they have experienced themselves. It's a testament to the dedication of our members. We are an international organization, and no matter where our members call home, they are united by a common passion for aviation. The Keep Flying International Scholarship is an ideal way to provide opportunities to our members worldwide," unquote. Scholarships available for 2012 will be posted in mid-July of this year and will be awarded during the 23rd Annual International Women in Aviation Conference in Dallas, Texas, March 8th through 10th, 2012. Searching for the $100 hamburger, or just flying in the Bay State in general, may be a bit more fun with The Pilot's Guide to the Airports of Historic Massachusetts by John Fisk. The author's latest book covers the local history, area attractions, and aviation lore of the Commonwealth's 38 airports. Fisk explains, quote, "I came up with the idea for The Pilot's Guide when making plans to fly into every airport in Massachusetts. While working on my flying goal, I researched and wrote The Pilot's Guide," unquote. Fisk's research highlights how aviation grew up in Massachusetts. Its first airport was in Newburyport at Plum Island. The busiest is Logan. The second busiest is Nantucket, which was the setting for the NBC hit series Wings. World War I pilots who wanted a place to fly after returning home built the airport in Fitchburg. Cranberry farmers built one for aerial spraying in Hanson. Fisk adds, quote, Massachusetts has such rich history. Viewing it through the lens of aviation gives it a different glow, unquote. You can sample the book online at www.johnfiske.com. That's John with an H and Fisk spelled F-I-S-K-E. And finally today, NASA is ending attempts to regain contact with the long-lived Mars exploration rover Spirit, which last communicated on March 22nd of 2010. A transmission that ended Wednesday was the last in a series of attempts from Earth. Extensive communications activities during the past 10 months also have explored the possibility that Spirit might reawaken as the solar energy available to it increased after a stressful Martian winter without much sunlight. With inadequate energy to run its survival heaters, the rover likely experienced colder internal temperatures last year than in any of its prior 6 years on Mars. Many critical components and connections would have been susceptible to damage from the cold. Engineers' assessments in recent months have shown a very low probability for recovering communications with Spirit. Communications assets that have been used by the Spirit mission in the past, including NASA's Deep Space Network of antennas on Earth, plus two NASA Mars orbiters that can relay communications, now are needed to prepare for NASA's Mars Science Laboratory mission. MSL is scheduled to launch later this year. Dave Lavery, Program Executive for Solar System Exploration, explains, quote, We're now transitioning assets to support the November launch of our next-generation Mars rover Curiosity. However, while we no longer believe there is a realistic probability of hearing from Spirit, the Deep Space Network may occasionally listen for any faint signals when the schedule permits, unquote. Spirit landed on Mars on January 3, 2004, designed to last through a mission of 90 days. After accomplishing its prime goals, Spirit continued returning useful data for years. Its twin, Opportunity, continues active exploration of Mars. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear comments from Carol Jensen of the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association on the topic using higher-order pilot skills to reduce fatal accident risks. These AeroCasts will be off Monday for Memorial Day in the U.S., and I'll be on a short vacation the rest of next week. While I'm away, ANN Editor-in-Chief Jim Campbell will produce our daily short-form touch-and-go podcast Tuesday through Friday. We'll be back on a normal schedule on Monday, June 6th. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend, and have a clear and unlimited day.